Open your Bibles to the 7th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, in your Scofield Bible, page 1296. Starting with verse 11, we'll read responsively through verse 17. The 16th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Page 1296 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of whom tribe Moses spake concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Let's read together the 17th verse also. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a faithful record of thyself. We thank you for the word. You've given us a great church, a church that's known around the world for it stand, and we thank you for giving us a faithful preacher as well. We've got the best of it here, and we pray that you'd help us to realize as much as we can our responsibility, because you've given us much. Certainly we're responsible to hear thy word. Help us to bear that responsibility well today, and grant thy power in our service and upon our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
The thing that we fear the most in life is the end of life. I don't care how spiritual you are, how saintly you are, you shrink from death. I want to, and our people, as we've aged through the years, one by one, we're passing off the scene. I want to talk to you about death, and it'll surprise you the way I approach it this morning. But you don't know. I mean, it's that's that thin line, that little thread that can be clipped so quickly is what you call life. I live with it all the time. Listen to me now. I live with it. I mean, it's not a day of my life I don't hear someone who's approaching death, has passed away. I mean, I've got tens of thousands of people that I know and love all over the world. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, a little text we read a while ago, one little statement, just six words from Hebrews 7:16, which says this: the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. I used to wonder, and sometimes in a weaker moment I wonder now, why is it when you get to the place where you know enough to do anything, you're too weak to do it? That bothered me. I mean, about the time that you know something about life, you're in a rest home. And why is it? Why didn't God make us smarter when we're young? Of course, that's what you think he did. But why is it that the more you learn, it seems like that the less able you are physically to do what you know to do? Now, that statement, and then this illustration, which is not a new one. I was preaching in Jacksonville, Florida, with Lester Roloff for Dr. Bob Gray. Brother Roloff called me pastor. He considered me his pastor, though I was 10 years his junior. He called me on the phone from my motel room that afternoon. He said, Pastor, my mother is near death. They just called me and said, they said she won't live 24 hours. Now, what I want to know, Brother Jack, should I preach tonight or should I go home and see Mother before she goes to heaven? And I said, Brother Lester, I'm afraid I'm not as good a Christian maybe as I ought to be. I'd probably go home and see my mother. You'll have plenty of times to preach and just one more night to see your mother. He said, Brother Jack, he had his own private plane. He said, that's what I'll do. And he said, you tell Brother Gray I'll not be there. And I said, well, I'll be preaching anyway, and I can preach twice as long as I plan to, as you know. And I went to church that night, and first person I saw was Brother Roloff. And he said, I couldn't do it. I've got to give my preaching first. That night he preached. He flew back to Texas, where his mother lived, from where all people go to heaven. And because they're halfway there already. I sense some friction here this morning in this service. But I got a letter, telegram the next day, and it said, Brother Jack, my mother graduated last night. Commencement exercises tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Now, those two things I just said, Brother Roloff's mother graduated, commencement services tomorrow. And then the little statement I made about why do we learn so much after we're not strong enough to use it to its fullest. I'm going to build my sermon this morning around a little conversation I had with a couple in a distant city, older couple in a distant city. Father, bless me as I speak, and bless our dear people as they hear. May I be able to be a help and blessing to each this morning, and especially those of us who often shrink from even the thought of death. In Jesus' name, amen. I was in a distant city preaching. A couple came to me after a morning service and said, could we talk to you for a while, Brother Hiles? The couple was not as old as I am, but they were approaching senior years. And this has been less than a year ago. And they came to me, and this is what they said. They said, Brother Hiles, our son just finished college. We have worked and sacrificed to rear him. We're not wealthy people. We're just hard-working, salt-of-the-earth kind of people, just work for a living. We didn't have a lot of money, and my job has been a manual labor job. The couple kept on telling the story. They said, we did what we could to rear our boy. We tried to rear him right. We sacrificed to see him. He just finished college recently, prepared for his life's work. In fact, he had just been employed to go to work for some people. Folks, sit down now and be still. Don't be walking around while I'm preaching. And he said he had just gotten his job. He had not yet reported. Just out of college, prime of his life, planning to get married soon. And all of a sudden, he was stricken with a serious illness. He got worse and worse till finally, just a few days ago, he went to heaven. Now, Brother Hiles, we're Christian people. We don't understand this. Why would our boy prepare for his life's work? And why would he, all of a sudden, when he finishes college, about to enter into his life's work, why would he be taken? We don't understand it. Why would God do this? Let me share with you this morning, if you'll listen very carefully, and you'll learn some things about death. Here's what I said to them. I said, in the first place, life is a training place for an eternal occupation. Revelation 22:3 says, in heaven his servants shall serve him. So life is a training place for an eternal occupation. It's a school. My life is not my final work. My final work is in heaven. Each day, I said to them, is a school day on earth. Each lesson is a lesson to be used someday in heaven. Are you listening? So death is a commencement. exercise. For all of these 70 plus years that I've lived, I have been in training. My final work is in heaven, and I'm only in training for my final work. That's the first thing I said to this couple. Life is a training place for an eternal occupation. Now follow me carefully. I said that secondly, the length of training depends on what occupation will be in heaven. On earth, for example, I've seen numbers of our doctors go through medical school. I saw both Dr. Streeters go through medical school and counseling as they did. A doctor, for example, will need maybe 10 years of training before he can become a doctor. A surgeon may need 12 years or more of training. I watched Dr. Dennis Streeter as he went all the way through medical school, and then as he became an intern, and then as he became a surgeon, and then at the University of Chicago Billings Hospital, he was a surgeon in internship and so forth. It may take 12 years or more for a surgeon to prepare for his life's work. On the other hand, I said to this couple, I said, a lawyer, I do not know, but I imagine 7 years or 8 years training to be a lawyer. Or it may be that an electrician or a carpenter or a plumber, it takes less years than that, but it takes several years, certainly, to become a carpenter, a seasoned professional carpenter, a plumber, electrician. I said, not only that, there are jobs that take only a year. And there are jobs that you can prepare in a few weeks. Now, in heaven, I said, we are going to serve our God. You will have an occupation in heaven. Now, you are training now for that occupation. I said to this couple, it just may be that some people need to live to 90 years of age or over for their training to be totally finished before their occupation in heaven. But there are other people that need to live only 50 years because they're ready for their occupation in heaven after 50 years. I said, number one, life is a training place for eternal occupation. I said, number two, the length of training depends, and don't leave me now, the length of training depends on what our occupation will be. Look, you're not going to go to heaven and float around in the air with wings and fly all over the place for eternity. You're not going to go up in heaven and just walk on golden streets and wave palm leaves and garlands around your neck and shout and glory to God. All eternity. No, you're not going to do that. No, you're going to serve God for eternity. You're going to have a vocation, an occupation in heaven. God has a specific job. Heaven is a city. It's a city like Chicago is a city. It's a city like New York City is a city. It's a city like Los Angeles is a city. It has streets like Hammond has. A little bit better. But streets like Hammond has. It has houses. It's a place, folks. I think it's a planet. I really mean that. I think it's a planet. I think it is up. The Bible seems to tell that heaven is in the north. And I think heaven is a planet up in the north, somewhere in the north. And I think it is a real planet. I think you walk on real streets. I think you have real bodies. And you have jobs, profession. But we have to spend time on earth preparing and training for our occupation in heaven. Don't leave me. I said to this couple, life is a training place for an eternal occupation. I said, secondly, the length of training depends on what our occupation will be. Number three. I said, your son needed just a little over 20 years to get ready for his occupation. Now, why should he hang around here if he's graduated? I mean, he prepared in 20 years. You're a Christian people. He was a Christian young man. And he only needed 20 years to get ready. Folks, this earth is only a vestibule to heaven. This world is not my home. My home is there. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so this earth is God. Pastoring the First Baptist Church of Hammond is not my work. Pastoring the First Baptist Church of Hammond is my training for my work someday. I said, so your son needed only a little over 20 years to prepare for his eternal vocation. So he graduated. Number four, I said, only one day your education too will be over. Let me sort of diverse here. I went to college. It does not show. And if it does, you wasted your tuition money. But I went to college. And you college students here know how you form close ties. Now, one of these days, you college students here will have to say goodbye to Mr. Laurent. Well, let me choose somebody that you'll hate to leave. You'll have to say goodbye to Brother Scott. And now I'm one. Brother Hooker, you hate to leave him. But you'll have to say goodbye. You'll say goodbye to ties that you've made for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 years. Now, it won't be easy. And by the way, I promise you that most of the students that graduate here cry when they leave. They come to my office to say goodbye. Brother House, I know I've got to go out. I know there's a work out there to do. But I love this place with all my heart. I hate to leave this place. Now, that doesn't mean they shouldn't leave. Because there's something bigger out there for them to do. They've graduated. Now, as they approach graduation, there's some nostalgia. And there are people that you'll leave and you'll never see again on the face of this earth that you love now, and others that you only see occasionally. When you leave this college, you may never see this choir again. And that's bad news for 3/4 of the choir. You may never walk in this auditorium again. You may never hear me preach from this platform again. I start to say behind this pulpit, but I occasionally see it. You may never do it. And you'll walk out and you'll dread leaving. Well, that's what death is all about. No, you don't want to leave your loved ones and, hey, young folks over there, listen to me, I'm preaching to you. No, you don't want to leave your loved ones here, but you're graduating. It's going to be tough to leave. But I promise you, these guys go out in the work and they get a church and they're out there pastoring. I go see them, boy, they say, I've never been happier in my life. Now, it was tough to leave, but it's just a while till they're adjusted and the greatest days of their life. It's going to be tough to leave here. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave my loved ones and my friends. But bless God, you give me a few days to get adjusted to my new location and my eternity's work, and I'll be happy as a June bug on the 31st of May. I remember when I went to Grange Hall Baptist Church, Marshall, Texas. I thought I was there for life. Little country church, same building you have out here, we have out on campus. I felt like God was moving me somewhere else. I died. I recall the day I called my secretary. We didn't have an office, so I called her and sat her down here on a pew in the auditorium. And she sat here, and I got me a chair and dictated my resignation letter to Grange Hall Baptist Church. I didn't want to leave. My first convert walked the aisle there. I baptized my first person there. I performed my first wedding ceremony there. I conducted my first funeral service there. It was the place where I was sort of born in the ministry. I didn't want to leave. And I wept uncontrollably when I left. I dreaded the day of saying goodbye. But I went to Garland, Texas, and all of a sudden a ministry opened up there. And 44 people showed up the first Sunday. And 617 came the first anniversary. And 1180 came the second anniversary. And 2212 came the third anniversary. And 3163 came the fourth anniversary. And never did run a bus. All drive-in people didn't have buses in those days. Didn't think about it. What a ministry. Now, if I had stayed at Grange Hall Baptist Church, I'd never know. But now, that didn't make it easy to leave Grange Hall Baptist Church. I said goodbye to my one-legged deacon, L.G. Eaves. I said goodbye to the man that ran the little neighborhood store, Mr. Varner. I said goodbye to my song leader, Jack Smoke, and my secretary, Eva Smoke. I said goodbye to people I'd loved, Mr. and Mrs. Pepper, and he's not a doctor. Just want to see if you're awake. It beats playing checkers at a checker tournament. Now, look, it's normal for you not to want to leave here. But I left. God had something in Garland, Texas, much bigger than he had for me in the country in East Texas. God has something bigger for you. Your whole eternity is to serve God. Now, God knows when you're trained. And God will pass out your diploma to you at commencement time when He gets when you get ready for your eternal. Some of you are going to try to flunk the courses, aren't you, so you stay here longer. And then came time when I had to leave Garland. I didn't want to go. I died. What a ministry. Fastest growing church in the world. All of us were young people. The old had 22 adult classes. The old ladies' class was 35 and up. Had one member of the church over 50. One. We went out and looked for old people, tried to get them. We needed some old people. Now here we're trying to look for some young people. But what a church. I was there for life. But God had something bigger up here in Chicago. Not that this church was bigger, but this area was bigger. Now, it was not easy for me to leave. I recall the night. How I wrestled with it. I recall how I cried and cried, and I was trying to find the will of God for my life, and I did not know whether God wanted me to come up here or stay in Garland. I wanted to stay in Garland. And finally one day, after driving all over all day, or the area, driving around all day and going out and seeing my sister at Intercontinental Airplane Manufacturing Company and talking to her, all of a sudden it dawned on me that God was calling me to Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church in the great Chicago area. I went to my mother's house on Westchester Street and sat down at her knee and threw my head in her lap and cried like a baby for an hour. I did not want to leave, and you don't want to leave here, but I got news for you. God's got something bigger for you to do. And you're training for it. When the training time is over, it's time to go to something bigger. And I'll guarantee you, you won't be there 30 minutes till you'll forget what's down here. Because you'll be serving God in your eternal vocation for which you trained while you were here. Boy, that's good. I remember resignation night. I got up and announced that I was leaving, and that's all I could say. We didn't have a service that night. That's not like me. I couldn't even speak. And the people began to cry. And they began to kneel around and cry and sob out loud. And folks were lined up like a wailing wall around the walls with their head against the wall, saying, I can't believe Brother House is going to leave. He's all we've known. He won us to Christ. He's all we've known. I can't believe he's going to leave. I didn't want to go. But as Paul said, it's expedient. I'd be with you. But he said to live as Christ, to die is gain. Now, Ms. Hiles and I, our children, I told the people, I said, I can't stay here. I'm giving a month's notice, but I can't be here that month. We took off in our car, went to Missouri and stayed for 2 weeks just to try to get a hold of ourselves. I went back, and the last hospital call I made was to Mrs. Leonard Odom, who was having surgery. I walked in the hospital room. I cried for 15 minutes and left. Never said a word, just cried. And she cried. And I waved goodbye to her. My deacon chairman, Francis Knoll, and his... Not a woman deacon chairman. He's a man named Francis. Francis took me out to eat. That's going to be a good one to get around. But my deacon chairman and another deacon, Carl Johnson, took me out to eat. Went to the El Phoenix Mexican restaurant. They ate. I'd need a bite. I never said a word. Never said hello. Never said goodbye. I sat there for an hour and did nothing but cry. I didn't want to leave. And by the way, I don't want to leave this earth either. I don't want to leave that woman right there. So I'm going to send her on. She said this morning, she said, I want you to know when I die, I want you to throw a fit. He said, I don't want you to take it well. But I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave our bus kids. I don't want to leave my deacon board. I don't want to leave. And it's natural for you not to want to leave, but I got news for you. Whenever I am fully trained for my eternal vocation, I'm going to graduate. I don't want to leave. I'll dread leaving. But I'll bind you one thing. Just like there was something better here than there was in Garland, it did not make it easy to leave, but when I got here, Can you imagine what would have happened if I'd have stayed in Garland, Texas? Think for a minute. Look at this big crowd. Look at all these buildings here. Look at these buses lined up by the scores, dozens and dozens. Go out and look at that big college out there and that beautiful campus. Go down here and look at this City Baptist grade school and drive by and look at that new City Baptist high school and go out there to Baptist City and see all those buildings out there and go around the world and see 1,000 preacher boys who sat in these pews who are now circled the globe preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But that didn't make it easy to leave back there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God had something bigger to do. I said to this couple, life's a training place for an eternal occupation. I said, secondly, the length and training depends on whatever our occupation will be in heaven. I said, thirdly, your son needed only a little over 20 years. This morning we remembered Steve McKeegan. Steve McKeegan had just gotten married. I recall when you and I went out to see him in the hospital. He was writhing in pain, just a lad in his 20s, writhing in pain, screaming because of pain. Well, why did God take Steve? He graduated. He graduated. I'll guarantee you one thing. It just didn't take as long. He's a faster learner than I am. In fact, it looks like most people are. But I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, look. Sure, who wants to die? Nobody wants to die. I didn't want to leave Marshall to go to Garland, but I was preparing in Marshall for a bigger work in Garland. I didn't want to leave Garland to come to Hammond, but I was preparing for a bigger work while I was in Garland. I don't want to go to heaven on the next bus load, but I'm preparing here for a bigger work someday. I continued talking to this couple who had lost a 20-year-old son. Our son just barely 20. I said, one day my education will be over and I will feel the same way. I won't want to leave. First place, I don't want any other rascal standing behind this book. And the third place, you know what grinds me? For 37 and a half cotton picking years, I've worked my fool head off, which made my looks better. But I have worked my fool head off here. I led in building this monster building here. I led you in clearing off that land out there and building Baptist City. I led you in buying that beautiful college and building numbers of buildings out there and starting the school down here in the City Baptist High School and all the other ministers we have. And some other lucky rascal's going to come in, and what took me 37 and a half years to get, he's going to get it in 5 minutes. And up in heaven, I'm going to pull a tornado and put it right on his house. It is no more unnatural for you not to want to die than it was for me not to want to leave my precious people in East Texas. It's no more unnatural for you to want to die than it was for me not to want to leave my precious people in Garland, Texas. It's no more unnatural for you not to want to die than it is for me not to want to leave you. It's always tough to leave. But I promise you this. Every place I've ever said goodbye led me to go to another place with a bigger opportunity if I could do more for him. Whenever I preach my last sermon, I close this Bible for the last time, give him a last invitation here. I read my last announcement, give him a last corny joke, and give you the same illustration for the last time. And walk out that door for the last time. And you hear Brother Hiles is killed in a plane crash or some deacon shot him in the head. In self-defense. You rest assured, How do you want to go? And if I got news today that I had terminal cancer and had a month to live, I wouldn't like it. But I understand it. Just like I didn't want to leave East Texas. Just like I didn't want to leave Garland. But I've got my final ministry. My text, the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. Follow me carefully. I served God for three and a half years in a little church in East Texas. I served God for almost 7 years in Garland. I've served God for over 37 years in Hammond. I'll serve Him forever at my next pastorate. I said to the little couple, your son didn't want to leave. And just like the people in East Texas didn't want to say goodbye to me and Ms. Hiles. And just like the folks in Garland did not want to say goodbye to us. Even so, you did not want to say goodbye to your son. But he's graduated. Whatever God had for him to do eternally in heaven, he's prepared for it now. He hugged his wife. She returned the embrace. They mingled their tears. And cheek to cheek, they looked to me and said, "We understand it now. We understand it now. We never looked at it that way." If you can look at death, like I've taught this morning, you won't want to die, but you won't dread what's going to happen after you die. I'm telling you, you're not just going to go to heaven where you won't get sick anymore. Good night, who wants to sit down and just not get sick for the eternity? Just sit there well. Won't cry anymore. That's not enough for me. Who wants to sit there and don't cry? I was on an airplane one day. I was the only man in the only passenger in the no smoking section. I was doing all the no smoking by myself on that airplane. Who wants to just sit there and do no smoking? Who wants to go to heaven and sit there and just don't get sick and don't get mad and don't sin and don't ever hurt and don't ever cry? No, sir. I want to serve my God in heaven. And here on earth, I'm studying and training and preparing for my eternal occupation. And bless God, when time comes for me to graduate, I'll go and serve Him forever and shout His praises 10 million years. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this same peace will come to the hearts of some people this morning. It came to the hearts of that couple who'd said goodbye to this lad. And I pray the same peace will come to some who are realizing it's just a while before they graduate, before their commencement. May they...